Sean, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
So what is mise-en-scène's role in world building?
Well, it builds the world. Without mise-en-scène, without the devices, the techniques, the strategies, the plush colours, the lighting technique, the clothes, the way light might fall on an object, there isn't really a film. It really is the sort of the plasma, the arteries and veins of a good film movie. I think when you ask somebody if they like a movie and then you dig a bit deeper, you're going to find them being able to draw upon some key moments in a film, which are really the moments of mise-en-scène. It's when production design, colour, lighting, the actor's performance, diegetic sound, the sound that we hear is somehow connected to them at a deeper, sort of pleasurable level. So it is everything. It's the thing, I think, that makes cinema one of the most important art forms that we have.
Now, you mentioned in particular that it tends to be the moments that you remember in these films that are very strong in mise-en-scène. Do you think that there are ever moments where perhaps it's okay to, you know, dial back the detail so that other moments can come forward, or is that just another form of mise-en-scène, just redistributing the attention on screen?
I know that's a great question. Yeah, I guess that some directors might be criticised for creating visual spectacle that somehow overdetermines stories. But I actually think that visual spectacle is storytelling in the sense that it moves the story and can be experienced as a form of sort of deep, you know, guided way of moving narrative plot forward. Some of us argue that mise-en-scène is an active narrative agent, that without it, story can't really move forward.
Yeah, my listeners are well familiar with the fact that I am a big Star Trek geek, and I often see the comparison made in fan communities for the franchise that, you know, the old buttons and switches of the original series compared to J.J. Abrams' reimagining of it is just a complete waste of mise-en-scène, whereas I would argue that perhaps if you look at how we create our devices, the things you see in J.J. Abrams' films are perhaps more indicative of what that actual future would be like, and even though it is very noisy, there's still value to it.
I absolutely, that's good. That's great. I mean, I'm a massive Doctor Who fan, and there's been a huge sort of discussion around the reimagining of the TARDIS. My favourite sort of mise-en-scène of all time, I think, is from Blade Runner, and it's particularly because they imagine a future, a dystopic future, where there's lower levels or higher levels, where this what becomes what's called a high-low spatial metaphor really resonates about power and class and difference. When Deckard moves up, you get the Vangelis score and you get these sort of beautiful light sculptures that could move across the air. But when you're down in the bowels of Blade Runner City, you know, it's all acid rain, crowded street, and you can't but help sort of walk or navigate through that cartography. They create a wonderful production design for that film.
How do you think that intentional mise-en-scène compares to some of the accidental mistakes that build up these worlds like Blade Runner?
I'm trying to think of mistakes. You can get it wrong, though, I think. You know the adaptation of, is it the Dark Tower?
Yes, I know the one.
Well, I think that's a miss. I just think that the special effects are not very good. In the worlds they try to create, you know, you've got these different planes, these different worlds that we move in and through. They're just not well that devised for me. And so if you don't believe fully, if you can't immerse, touch, feel, hear, see, you know, the very nature of what that world should be, but then you just the film doesn't work on that level, I think, which is a cognitive as well as an emotional level.
You mentioned that the lack of distinction between certain scenes in the Dark Tower there was perhaps a letdown there. But when you look at other art forms like the stage and how you are bounded to a much more set box than perhaps you might be in cinema these days, how do you think mise-en-scène plays into those art forms, and how do you think that will translate going forwards as film maybe starts to expand into, say, virtual reality if it goes as far?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, in a sense, early cinema borrowed its techniques from the stage. There wasn't continuity editing, but exit left and right, and it was very static. And so there is this connection. And I suppose in terms of translation or cross-pollination, contemporary theatre often uses the screen in various forms to tell its story. I'm a massive David Bowie fan, so I saw the production of Lazarus when it came to Melbourne. And that really is intensely screen-based. A lot of the play moves through visuals. There is a growth in VR and AR filmmaking, and that's fascinating too. And, of course, multi-screen installation. I saw a brilliant one, which is sort of about colonial history, because he was using three screens, and there was something remarkably effective about it. I think the jury's out at the moment on VR cinema. I just don't know if they've yet captured or used, at least in narrative terms, in a really interesting way. So I think it will. It's like a baby trying to learn language still, that form, and it will eventually grow and find its voice. But at the moment, I think it's stuck between different sort of artistic world.
Well, yeah, I think as with many technological developments, it's kind of bounded by people's understanding of it. But as you start to see it being used for things like the background recreation on Star Wars, The Mandalorian, you can see that that technology is coming leaps and bounds, and maybe we'll see some huge improvements in the mise-en-scene of those art forms going forwards.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's an exciting space.
Fantastic. Well, Sean, thank you so much for joining us here on Drive on 2SER. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
And you too. That's been lovely. Thanks, Mike.